Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hello.
Welcome back to another episode of The Juice. I'm your host, Solomon Giorgio, comedian, writer, and the main reason O-Town broke up. My guest today is a comic mastermind, the co-creator of Dicktown on FXX. He was a longtime contributor to The Daily Show and This American Life. He currently hosts the hilarious podcast, Judge John Hodgman, where he settles important issues plaguing the world today, like should the built-in kitchen soap dispenser be filled with hand soap or dish soap? Let's give a big juicy welcome to John Hodgman. Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Solomon. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. You're in New York now, as always.
I live in Brooklyn, New York, yes. And I'm doing fine. Fine is correct, but these days I normally only ask people like, are you doing okay, okay plus, or okay minus? Because that's about the range.
Yeah, I feel
that I feel that I can offer people anyway.
That's a right. Somebody asked me recently if I was having fun, and I'm like, what a terrible question.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems unseemly to say, I'm doing great. Why? What could possibly go wrong on a day like today?
Everything can go wrong.
Everything can go wrong every day.
You know, I think that's the issue. I think things need to stop going wrong for anybody at all times.
Hey, I wouldn't mind if things stopped going wrong for an hour. Do you know what I mean?
An hour?
Give me 24 hours of things nothing getting worse.
Oh, 24 hours. I feel like if you do something like that, like a small universe would have to die to even out the karmic balance.
Right. It's like a perverse version of Groundhog Day. It's like, it doesn't repeat. You only get one 24-hour period, but it's some comedy where it's like, hey, nothing's getting worse. Let's live instead.
Oh, well, I'm always happy to see you.
It's nice to see you. That's why, I mean, look, I want to do the show because I knew that I would be happier if I saw you, which we can see each other because of teleconferencing. But even if I could only hear you, I would be happier than I was before.
You've always been so kind. I've always been the treat of every Max Fun situation and the cruises that we've endured.
If I can tell you a little bit of gossip.
Yeah.
I'm actually a monster. I'm a horrible monster. Vengeful, spiteful.
Oh.
Backstabby. Talk behind people's backs while standing.
You're on the right show then.
No.
This is literally what I'm about.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I don't think you're that backstabby, are you? No.
No. I don't believe in that sort of thing. And I fear to speak ill of anybody because I am not a superstition person. I presume that I will go and die and become dust and nothing will happen thereafter. I don't have a lot of faith that there's anyone looking out for us at this point, now that all promises have been broken and institutions failed. But I do feel some sense of that golden rule, you know, and also fear of karma.
I agree. I also feel like you can twist fate around if you want to. I think there's...
Oh, you can dodge karma. You can dodge karma. Yeah. Solomon Giorgio is going to dodge karma.
Yeah. I'm here to prove that life is unfair.
No, I think life is entirely unfair. Yeah. Do I actually believe in karma? Not really. Am I a scaredy cat? For sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the cruelest thing you ever did was, I believe, at one point, trying to make me drink Malort with other individuals.
No. Well, you know what? you have put your finger on something, because Malort, if people don't know, and probably more know now more than ever because I have helped to make Malort very famous, spreading the gospel from stage to stage. This is a Chicago. Well, it's not made in Chicago anymore, but it's famous for being arguably enjoyed in Chicago. It is a liqueur. It is a flavored spirit that is extremely bitter and is enjoying kind of a hipster anti-comedy renaissance where you drink it and then you make a horrible face and you take a picture of yourself on the internet.
I've never had anything that put inside me that took something away from me immediately. That it was, I'm like, you feel like there's like, it's like, did it drink me? I think it's really.
Yeah. I should have explained, every sip you take, you lose a year of your life. There is a legend at the Malort headquarters and everyone's name is written in it.
It is really, it is a truly, I feel, because I've also, I used to work in bars and that's what bartenders would do each other with Fernet.
Sure.
Where so bitter and so, and it's flavored. That is
it's
like,
a strong flavor for sure. But you know, you point out something. Here I am, just polishing my halo, saying, I don't talk behind people's backs. I don't do anything mean. I'm extremely kind. But the truth is, if I'm on stage, when I hand out that Malort, I'm being a big bully. I'm being yes. a big bully. I'm basically saying, I dare you to try this. And people are hurting themselves simply by following my advice. And I take a certain sick pleasure in that. And I should own that. I'm not the nicest person there is.
Look, here's the thing. It taught me to never do it again. And that's what's important.
Well, perhaps, yeah, perhaps you owe me a thank you note.
As a matter of fact, let me back up. I am not a bully. As a matter of fact, I made your life better.
No, at the Max FunCon, when I would host the pub trivia quiz, I would feel power get to my head. Mm-hmm. And if people, you know, Chuck Bryant from Stuff You Should Know and I would co-host the big trivia night and people would form teams. And if they talked too much or they broke the rules or if they questioned my judgment in any way, I would like make them do a lap around the building, like real, real gym teacher energy coming out of this withered nerd body. I think maybe I'm not as nice a person as I like to present.
Look, to be perfectly honest, the power of being on stage and the way you can sometimes trick people into doing stuff, it lets you know that you could be a cult leader if you want to make the effort.
That's exactly what I mean. I formed a cult. I forced the people in pub trivia to call me Dear Father. I ordered total subservience. I had to do it. The joke of it was that we were that the Max FunCon, which is a retreat for the listeners of and pod members of the Max Fun Network, where I do Judge John Hodgman, is that the place where we do the retreat, Lake Arrowhead, is very near one of the Scientology secret buildings,
yes.
where it is speculated that David Miscavige, the head of the Church of Scientology, his wife, who's not been seen for many years, is living, one hopes, safely. And we were talking about Scientology because of that. And then I just want you to know that Scientology is a completely legitimate major world religion. It is a faith way like any other. It is not a cult. I'm not making the mistake of talking about Scientology out of school like I did when I wrote for GQ in 2000 and started getting letters from the church.
Yeah.
I was thinking about cults and I thought, what would it take to start a cult? And all of a sudden, we locked the doors of that trivia quiz. And we lived there together for 15 days, and we wore uniforms by the end of it, jumpsuits.
Oh, geez,
that part wasn't true. But the other stuff is true. That sense of power when you're on stage.
Yeah, I feel. I've definitely made people. I'm not forcing anyone to drink anything, but making people be quiet is one power that I've had, which I love abusing.
It's how do you make people be quiet? You mean when you're on stage and people are talking they shouldn't?
Just chatting it up, having a whole conversation while you're just being a presence that they should enjoy.
Right. So what's your technique? How do you shame them?
I do this thing where I tell them to be quiet and then they just stop. I do have the benefit of being a giant, which always helps me out on stage.
That's true. We are seeing each other over teleconference, but I forgot. It's been a while since we've shared space with anybody, frankly, but I've not been on your coast for quite a while, and you're a very tall person.
I know. We should. I feel like a Max FunCon should come to fruition soon.
I think so, and you will notice that I have shrunk. since last time. I've only grown smaller, both in my stature and in my heart.
I'm wearing 10-inch heels now, so I'm over 7 feet tall.
Fantastic.
So this show is specifically, as you know, is about gossip and my joy of gossip. But I'm very much specifically, I enjoy like small, local, like retail, like gossip from high school gossip, hometown gossip, because you grew up in New England, right?
Yes. I'm from Brookline, Massachusetts, the home of Conan O'Brien, the hometown of Conan O'Brien. And let me tell you, I went to Brookline High School, and let me tell you some gossip that we all talked about Conan O'Brien after he left.
Uh-huh.
The stories that we told each other about the famous Conan O'Brien at Brookline High School. Whoo, it was hot stuff. Hot stuff.
How far apart were you guys?
Let me see. What is his age? Let's start there.
Good question. I probably should know that information, and I don't.
And you probably shouldn't say.
I probably feel like that's probably the wrong thing to say. I'm gonna take
this burden off your hands. Conan O'Brien.
59.
59. So he is 9 years older than me. So basically two high school generations removed.
Oh, yeah.
And the joke was going to be, we had told no stories about Conan O'Brien because no one knew this. At that time, he was probably writing for, by the time, well, I mean, The Simpsons started in 1989, I think.
We're just going to go through Conan's IMDb high school.
Early life, born Brookline, Massachusetts. His father, Thomas Francis O'Brien, is an epidemiologist. I bet he's getting some work. He was the managing editor of the school newspaper, The Sagamore, just like my friend Christine Connor and my longtime wife.
Yeah,
my forever wife. this time for sure, everybody. No, my only all-time wife and whole human being in her own right. Oh my gosh, I'm blushing. You can probably hear it on the radio. I'm blushing so hard. We met in high school.
You met in the Brookline High School?
Yeah.
Wow.
But we're talking about Conan O'Brien, and I'll tell you about that. Graduated valedictorian in 1981, entered in blah, 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 blah. Graduated in 1985. So, you know, he was but a youth. He had been barely spat out of the basement of the Harvard Lampoon by the time I was in high school. We were not talking about him. We may have overlapped. I may have swanned by him in Harvard Square of a weekend while he was perhaps studying, and I was pre-high school or just started high school. I was probably headed my way to the Million Year Picnic comic book shop to pick up the latest issue of the X-Men.
So it's impressive. Like you went to the same high school, the same college, to the same career. It's almost like you're copying him. Is that what's going on here?
I did not go to the same college.
You did? Oh.
I went to Yale University.
Yale, sorry. Sorry, I knew it was an Ivy League school.
Yale is an accredited four-year college in Southern Connecticut. And it is, you know, I loved my time at college. It was pretty incredible. But it was also like it was a joke. I was like, come on, really? Every time I would, quote unquote, in my career, brag about going to Yale, I was like, I was making the same joke, The Simpsons one. I was like, Mr. Burns, like, I'm a Yale man. I'm an honorary Whiffenpoof, which is the premier a cappella singing group of the collegiate world, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I found it, like, I got in, which was nice.
Yeah.
But also, and I got an incredible education. But the primary reason I wanted to go is that I went on the college tour, and they explained, like, all of these old Gothic buildings that look so old are actually pretty new. They were all built in the 20s. They were all designed to look like Oxford or Cambridge.
Yeah.
All of the shingles, all the roofing shingles were buried for months under the ground to artificially age them. All of these leaded window panes that open inward were all made 5 minutes ago. And they were, you may notice that some of the panes were broken and repaired with lead. And this is a little hard to describe on a podcast, but in the oldie times in Oxford or Cambridge, if it broke a pane of glass, it was expensive. So you would repair it by putting the glass together and putting a seam of lead over the crack. And so the tour guide said, you may notice that all of the repaired cracks in the window all form Ys for Yale. And I was like, oh, this is Disneyland. This is
yeah.
This is fake. Like, this is all some robber baron's wet dream of a, like, I want to be part of this theatricality for sure.
Doesn't Notre Dame have that aspect of Toots as well? Where they made it like old, bunch of old stuff too?
They made it look old. It's a Ren Faire. It's a fake. It's a phony.
It's true, but it's a very expensive Ren Faire. It's
and I thought there was no, and I'll tell a little something. I thought there was no, like the Yale-Harvard rivalry seemed like the stupidest, most arbitrary, dumb thing in the world to me, especially since I don't care about sports. And also, they don't play sports. They play Ivy League sports. I think I went to the Yale-Harvard football game once, and I think mainly they just shook hands. I don't know what they did.
Gracefully walking by each other with a football.
But I was invited to become an honorary member of the Harvard Lampoon, which is the humor magazine and humor club of Harvard.
Yeah.
Which is basically a direct feeder to comedy writing rooms in New York and LA.
I've seen it. I've witnessed it happen. I've seen people just show up with fresh degree and already writing. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, look, I came to comedy backwards. I was in the book publishing industry, and then I started writing some humor for some websites and wrote a wackadoo book and got asked to be on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart as a guest, and that turned into a gig. And all of a sudden, I was on this television comedy show. And so it was this weird, like, charged thing to be invited to be an honorary member of the Harvard Lampoon. And so I said, okay, I'll go. And they're like, okay, great. Will you come Saturday night? And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I live in New York. I'm not going to just bop up there for a Saturday night. Next time I'm in Boston, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was going to be like they said, there'll be a little dinner and a little ceremony, and then that's it. I'm like, okay. Well, I was doing a show at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, and I said, hey, I'm coming up. And they're like, great. What about Sunday night? And I'm like, no, Sunday I'm going home. And also, I'm traveling with our children who are staying with my dad. But I could come like Sunday lunch. Can we do that? And they're like, yeah, we normally do it during the nighttime. I'm like, what's going on here? Anyway, I show up at this thing. And this was when I was at the height of my tweetiness. I was on the Daily Show wearing a suit jacket and a tie. And I was playing this sort of stuffy intellectual character, the resident expert. And that was my brand at the time. And may I swear on this podcast?
Oh, please do. I hope you do.
I wish I had kept it because I fucked my brand up so badly. I should have just kept doing that. Resident expert. God, in 2011, I grew a mustache. I tried to make a change. No one understood. Shifted over to being the deranged millionaire on this show. I got stuck doing financial comedy. I don't know anything about that. Then I started doing podcasts and writing books of essays, and no one knows what I do anymore. But at the time, though, I had a high Hodgman brand, which was, this is that asshole from Yale who thinks he knows everything and pretends that he does. And I show up at this thing, and all of a sudden, I'm surrounded. They come in one after another in the Harvard Lampoon Castle.
Oh, wow.
White guys wearing glasses and a suit and tie. And I'm like, are they playing a joke on me? Are they all like, some of them were wearing bow ties. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, is this some sort of like John Hodgman cosplay? Are they trying to like being John Malkovich me? They're trying to break my brain like by making, are they making fun of me? And then I realized that's just how they dressed. It's Harvard. It's Harvard. There's a difference.
It's a brand.
Anyway, it turned out the ceremony was an initiation and a hazing. I was jokingly humiliated, and they kept me in a basement for a while. And after a while, they brought me up to face the tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
This was a version, I believe, of what people who actually join the Harvard Lampoon go through. You can ask Conan O'Brien.
Wow.
I don't know. But they asked me a series of questions that were very obscure, and I will protect their secrecy. And I did not know the answer. They asked me one question over and over and over again, and I could mm-hmm. not figure out what the answer was. And finally, I gave them the most honest thing I could give them. I said, look, you college children, I'm not supposed to be here. I understand that. Like, this was a mistake. Like, I when I was invited to be on The Daily Show the first time, I was not even sure I was going to make it on the air. I was told to bring a suit in case the script got into shape. And I was so intimidated showing up at The Daily Show in 2006, because it was definitely at the height of its powers, as it was, I think, all the years, and still now. I mean, it's different powers. Trevor Noah is super powerful, incredible. But, you know, The Daily, like, for me, it was a really, really big deal. I was going to be on the other side of the television screen.
Oh, no, it was a big deal. It was one of my favorite shows at the time.
Yeah. And I was terrified because, A, how could this be happening? And B, all I knew about comedy writing, I knew from stories from SNL.
Yeah.
And the book that came out about SNL at that time, it was just like legendarily backstabby. That was the stories. That was the gossip, right? Like, it's just like everyone's got little sides and cliques and they undermine each other and they work all night long. And if they don't work all night long, they're not taken seriously and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure none of that was true, but that's what I thought what comedy writing was.
Yeah.
It was just
I did too. I truly believe that with my whole heart.
Evil.
I was
people.
Like, we're doing rails of cocaine and try to write a sketch.
Right. And Rob Corddry, I see down the hall walking towards me. And Rob Corddry is also from Massachusetts, but he's a different kind of Massachusettsian. He's not a Brookline dilettante Yale man like old Hodge over here. He's what you call a masshole. He's going to punch me in the neck. He's going to say something mean and punch me in the neck because I'm the new guy. And this is what happens in comedy, right? If not neck punching, then verbal neck punching. And he walks up and I'm really scared. And this big smile crosses his face, which makes me even more nervous because when white dudes from Massachusetts smile at you, duck. And he says, and that includes me, but he says, we're so happy you're here. He said, I heard you were coming in. We're so happy you're here. And every day at The Daily Show felt that way to me. Everyone treated me so nicely. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't perfect. And I sometimes had to be told I was wrong, which I did not enjoy. Very few people had told only child dilettante John Hodgman he was wrong before. And every day since then, I thought, I guess I'm not going to be hazed in comedy until today at the Harvard Lampoon. I mean, it was all in good fun and it was, you know, but I was just like, and then they just kind of stared at me silently and they're like, that apparently was not sufficient to get me out of there. And finally, I'm like, look, I'm a grown man. I'm not a college student. You have to let me go. You understand that, don't you? Because I'm a grown man, and also my daddy is coming to pick me up at 3 p.m. because he's going to drive me to the train station. They were really great about it.
Well, they eventually let you out. Clearly.
Yes, they let me out.
Okay, John, it is time to read a couple of the juicy submissions we get from our listeners. It is mailbag time.
So on today's mailbag, we're giving out grades. First, I'll read the submission, and then I'll ask you to give it a grade of either dry, moist, or fully juiced. Fully juiced being the most salacious, and dry being clearly boring.
Juiced is the most juicy. Moist is medium.
Moist is medium. Dry, just...
Right, just. Right.
So, all right, here's the first one. I grew up in a small town in Florida. Rumor has it that at my high school, there was a group of friends, all boys, and when they would get in fights with each other, they would sleep with each other's moms for revenge.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Rumor has it. Well, look, I've not done this podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
to me, that's pretty juicy.
Here's the thing. It's based on your life experience, so it's not. It doesn't matter what was said before. This is very juicy.
If this were okay, all right. I'm gonna go ahead and say I am scandalized. If this were happening, but we in our high school group,
yeah,
my friend Christine and my then and future and current wife, Catherine, and the other Sagamore kids, and
yeah.
we were all pretty. We weren't fighting and fucking, you know what I mean?
It wasn't happening in my life either, I sure.
This sounds like a plot of a movie or something. It sounds like something only happens to teenagers in the movies.
But also, the confusing thing for me is that if one boy did it, that makes sense. But in general, all the boys slept with each other's moms.
Where is the writer from again?
This is it's a small town in Florida. So,
oh yeah, then know, I believe it.
Yeah, this is 100% true.
100% true.
Yeah, I'm sorry for even doubting that for a second. I should have.
I'm gonna grade. My grade is juiced,
fully juiced. We're getting our first rating ever. Here it is, fully juiced. So this next piece of gossip: my coworker was a sister wife, though never confirmed by her. Her husband's name was Cosmos. It wasn't until later that I realized her real name was not Serenity and his real name was not Cosmos. She always talked about her sister, Spirit, that worked on the building next door. I finally met her sister, whitest white lady ever. No way these two were actually related. They all lived together in a house in the suburbs.
Hmm.
Wow. What's
in the building next door or on the building next door?
She worked in the building.
In the building.
Not
a construction worker.
No. It's really...
Spirit was not pouring concrete next door and putting up rebar.
I'm truly no one's name in this is surprising to me to be a polymorph situation.
Yeah, okay. And so it was Cosmos?
Mm-hmm.
And the two...
Cosmos, Serenity, and Spirit.
Cosmos, Serenity, and Spirit. You know what? That's a moist minus.
I'm going to go dry.
You know what? You're right.
Like, I enjoy
this. It's their life. It's their life. Yeah. Who cares?
There's nothing surprising about this. Everybody, every name says I'm going to be in a polymorph witch couple.
Thruple,
like,
please.
There's nothing about this that says I. That's the thing with like good gossip is like there has to be a little bit of surprise.
It's surprising. Probably, it's surprising. I moist minus. I was grading. I was giving them the curve.
Yeah. I feel like we're in modern times. We're both metropolitan men.
And let people. Hey, you know, I wish I had the nerve to rename myself Cosmos.
Yeah. It's still an option. It's never been taken away from you. But
I can't fuck up my brand any further. I can't. It's already fucked. No one would know.
I would complain.
Yeah. They'd be like, Hodgman is calling himself Cosmos now. How can he fuck up his brand anymore? But the truth is that no one would take me seriously.
Yeah. This situation I don't feel is, I personally I'm monogamous by laziness, by sheer pure. Meeting a second person sounds awful. To me.
Yeah. It seems like a real chore to be part of a thruple, yeah. I would have to say.
So that's like, really the only reason I don't it's all based on pure no need to want to meet another person.
Yeah. Let people live their lives.
Let them all live together in a house
dry,
in the suburbs.
Dry minus. I'm taking it down. I'm resubmitting my
game. Whoever submitted this, if you want to do some more research and if they like have like a
What would make it more surprising? What would make it really good?
I feel like if there's like if one of them lived in the basement the whole time and just like
ooh, yeah, all right, that's dark. I love it.
Like that's some gossip. It's like what's going on with Spirit?
Right. I mean, if one of them was the governor of a red state, the Republican governor of a red state.
See, or if they had like a fourth. Or if they had a fourth and it was a ghost, like that's the kind of stuff.
Yes, that would be very juiced. That would be very juiced.
And that's the mailbag. Thank you for sending in your mail. Reading your submissions is the best part of my week. Okay, John, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with the juice line.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to The Juice. I'm here with the hilarious John Hodgman. All right, John, now's the time in our show when we go to the phone. We call it The Juice Line. And I'm hearing from our board operator that today's caller is Becky. Well, let's patch her in.
Please hold. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Becky.
I'm Solomon. I'm here with the wonderful John Hodgman. Now, you clearly have some juicy gossip to share with us, and I would love
it. Solomon, may I just say, yeah. Becky, uh-huh. Is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. What listeners don't know, because we can see each other over teleconferencing, Becky is bursting to tell this gossip.
on edge the whole time.
All right.
This is it's a tried and true gossip juice, so... I've told this story many times. So I used to work at a university many years ago and worked at in a job where I had to talk with students. And so naturally, I talked with the financial aid office a lot. And so in that position, I kind of had my go-to guy that I went to in that office. And so he was nice. We kind of had a nice relationship. I could call him. He would help me out, help my students out. No problem. And then one day I tried to get a hold of him and his voicemail is just gone.
Oh,
like very strange. I tried to email him, like look in our directory and he's disappeared. Like he just doesn't exist anymore. And so I was like, this is strange, but let me call somebody else. And this other guy I know in this office and said, hey, you know, thanks for your help. I tried to get a hold of, call him Mike. And I just can't find him. Where is he? And I got sort of a, he doesn't work here anymore response.
Okay.
Which is, I was thinking about this, like this other person that I called was like also my go-to for gossip. Like he was the person that would tell you like what was really going on. So the fact that he didn't say anything, I was like, okay, this is a little strange. And so I didn't think anything of it, kind of went along. And a couple years later, I was at a happy hour or something with work. And his name came up, Mike's name came up.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, whatever happened to that guy? He just disappeared off the face of the earth one day. And they're like, oh, it's been a couple of years, so we can tell you now what really happened
with him.
And so apparently one day, campus security came in, was like, hey, we need to talk to the manager. Talk to manager. They go into this guy's office and escort him out, and he is never to be seen again. Apparently, our campus security was having an issue. And now at universities, it's pretty standard that every room, classroom has a computer, has a projector, and a big screen. That they were having an issue where students would come in maybe a little early to their class, and someone would be in the classroom playing porn on the big screen. The big screen of their classroom.
Sure.
And this had happened multiple times. I guess these kids would get freaked out and they would just leave. And so they were wondering, like, who is this person that keeps doing this in different classrooms and different buildings? And apparently it was this guy. He finally got caught somehow.
What?
Wow. Becky.
May I ask a point of clarification?
Sure.
So Mike wasn't in the classrooms watching the porn when they came in. He would just sneak in. Oh, he was. Okay.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I thought you were saying that he would just go from classroom to classroom, putting porn on the big screen and then tiptoeing in and tiptoeing out the gentleman porn bandit as a weird thrill.
Oh, no.
But he was in there.
Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, he had a job where he met with students. So who knows if somebody recognized him, if. Yeah, something happened. But
wow.
So it was a different room every time, or?
Yeah, that apparently was an issue around campus.
Why are you so judgmental, Solomon? You can't be room monogamous if you're, you know what I mean? Like, he liked to spice it up. He liked to sometimes go to the, you know, a chemistry lab, sometimes go to a French room.
Look, you know, in my Bible, it says to stick to one room and only one room when you put porn and projector and masturbate in the college campus.
Please leave your Bible in hotel rooms. I'd like to find one.
Wow, though. That's
how about that?
Yeah, and they somehow they connected it to him, and I don't know if he fessed up or they had some sort of proof, but he was never to be seen again.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah. Oh, the days of physical media.
What if we think, what if he would do, if he's like, prove it, if that's what he did. We know you've been watching porn. I'm like, oh yeah, are you sure? I feel like that's the kind of thing you're like, yeah, it was me. I just, oh wow, Mike.
When he disappeared from the directory record and the voicemail and everything, I thought for sure that the story was he was going to be a member of a ghost thruple.
Unfortunately, not.
No, but it's scarier. It's scarier than a ghost story, I dare say.
Very much so. Wow. Well, how long ago was this?
Oh gosh. 10 years ago or so. Oh, quite a while ago.
That's impressive.
Oh, Mike.
The desire, like the internet's right there. You have your own computer. You have your own home. There's a plethora of options. And I just.
Getting caught is bad. And
don't do it.
Don't get caught. Don't do it. I was just reminded of a couple of winters ago. Our daughter and I were taking the train up to Western Massachusetts to visit some friends, and it was the holidays, and the train was very crowded. And there was a dude sitting across from us on the Amtrak, and he was very friendly, and he was getting wildly drunk and happily wildly drunk on tall boys of light beer and chatting up everyone who sat next to him because someone would leave, someone would sit down. And a woman sat down and she had a cat and he was talking to her about her cat. He's just so friendly. And she got off the train. She said, Merry Christmas. He said, Merry Christmas to you and to your cat. You make a wonderful couple. And he was so happy and excited. He was calling ahead to wherever he was going, saying, I'm almost there. What kind of wine do you have? I'm like, dude, you need to take it down 1,000. And then we heard him on his cell phone and he was so cheery. And he's like, hey, how are you? Yeah, I'm on my way. I'm almost there. What's that? Naked pictures of me on the internet? Well, that's got to be a mistake. Who sold you? And you could just hear in his voice that it was 100% true. And his life was never going to be the same. And he just started making, and his voice just started getting like, yeah, apparently... you're going to get a call from someone who said that they have naked pictures of me on the internet, but it's not true. It was the worst Christmas ever for this person. He got caught.
Wow.
Yeah. And this guy that I worked with, I mean, we had kind of like a relationship where we'd chit chat about, oh, how are you? And I knew that he was married, that he had just had twins, like all this stuff. I'm like, how do you explain that when you show up at home in the middle of the day?
Did they not have a large-scale projector at home?
Probably is like, it's a busy household. I had to be somewhere else. Do you want me to masturbate in front of twins? Is that what you want?
Wow.
Sorry. I've already found... I know the line defense these men find.
Obviously, there had to have been some measure of exhibitionism involved, which makes that profoundly uncool. But when I was in college... I worked at the video store. This was about 150 years ago. And I was working at the video store.
Oh, just real quick, to my listeners, we used to watch videos as a form of entertainment.
Right. Yes, exactly. We would put them on large screen projectors and yes. Chemlabs. And I was renting a video, and you know, your listeners are too young to know what the Brady Bunch is. But I got a call, or for that matter, what Sam Goody's was, which was a record company.
Yes,
record
I recall. I had Sam Goody points, so I'm very upset.
Yeah, and I picked up the phone, and I said Film Fest, because that was the name of the the video store. And there was a young woman on the other end of the line. She goes, "Film Fest?" I'm like, "Yes." She goes, "This is Sam Goody." We're using code names now. She said, "You need to know Greg Brady is on his way." And apparently Greg Brady had been down at Sam Goody and was looking for something, and they sent them up to Film Fest. He was looking for a video store, and they were so excited they had to give us the heads up. She hung up immediately. And Greg Brady came in, and this is of course the actor Barry Williams. Yeah. And he said, like, we were all playing it cool because Greg Brady was important. You know, Brady Bunch meant something to me. And he was playing it cool, and we were playing it cool, and he was playing it cool. And he said, and I knew that he was in town doing a touring production of a show called City of Angels. Anyway, he said, "Where are your classic movies?" And I point him to the classic movies. And he comes back and he says, "Great, do I need to fill out a membership?" I'm like, "Yeah, just fill this out." And he said, "Do I need ID?" I'm like, "No, I don't think so, Mr. Greg Brady. Not required." And he's like, "Oh, great, thanks." I'm like, "Look, I hate to be that kind of person, but will you sign an autograph to my friend Christine, who was the editor-in-chief of the Sagamore after Conan O'Brien was at Brookline High School? She's a big fan." And he wrote, "Have a very Brady day, Christine, Greg Brady," and blah, blah, blah. We went through this whole thing. It was so sweet. And he goes, "Yeah, so the other thing I wanted to ask you is, do you have adult films?" And I was like, "Oh,
yes.
Oh, Greg Brady. Oh, no. This was at a time when you had to, the only place you could get pornography was at video stores or apparently college campuses."
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a man alone on the road who simply wanted to spend some time with himself. Very, very recognizable. Everyone in Sam Goody knew who Greg Brady was immediately. He was, and he had to go and had to go through this whole experience of like, "Yeah, I'm on TV. I'm going to be really nice. And now I just want to know." And I just felt so bad for him, especially since the answer was no. He had wasted his time. He had rented the goddamn Oxbow incident for nothing out of the classic section, trying to cover for himself, trying to show himself to be a person of. I'm sure he loves classic movies. He's great.
I'm sure.
I just felt so bad for him, and I'm like, "No, you have to go down to Best Video in Hamden for that." Sorry.
Oh, damn.
It's hard.
It is very difficult. But nowadays, we have full access, and hopefully we don't need to watch things with projectors and get caught masturbating. But yeah, hopefully Mike is doing well out there, and he's found another outlet for his need to be in the public eye.
I hope Mike is, well, I mean, but again, that exhibitionism, that's you know, he's making people see stuff that they don't want to see.
Yeah, it has to be done with, like, permission and...
Of course. Greg Brady wasn't forcing me to come to his hotel room and watch adult videos with him. I mean, he invited me and I said yes.
Yeah. That's the right thing to do. It's permission, consent. That's all we're looking for in this world.
Right. That's right.
Thank you so much, Becky, for calling in. That's such a wonderful story. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Becky.
Please hold.
I thought I didn't have any gossip to tell, and yet it's true. It's human nature, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I also feel like I have a face where people just want to tell me secrets, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. When next we meet, remind me to tell you the story of the guy who sublet my apartment in New Haven.
Please, yes.
Yeah. Never sublet your apartment to a guy who is a part-time waiter, part-time stage magician. And
I agree.
And apparently three-time masturbator out the window. That's not a good...
What?
A good, never mind.
What? What?
Next time.
Oh my God. Thank you, John. It's always so happy to have you.
Thank you so much.
It's always my pleasure to be in the presence of the great John Hodgman. Be sure and check out his podcast, Judge John Hodgman from Maximum Fun, and his new animated series, Dicktown, which is currently airing on FXX and streaming on Hulu. As always, if you want to tell your story on The Juice, send them in by visiting teamcoco.com/heyjuice. Also, remember to rate and review in Apple Podcasts. Give us all the stars if you feel so inclined. And as always, have a juicy day.
This has been a Team Coco production.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.